So the subject this evening is trusting God in trying times. And the passage we've read from in Isaiah is very appropriate for this situation. Let me just get this on for you. Right. Okay. Because Isaiah himself was living in very difficult times. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read of Isaiah's call to the ministry. It was the year 740 BC, and it was a time when the king Uzziah had just died. It was a very difficult time, both spiritually and politically. As a nation, Israel had committed apostasy and was in danger of being disciplined by the Lord. The nation, the kingdom of Judah, was following the footsteps of the nation of Israel. And as we read in chapter 7 of Isaiah, they were living in very difficult times because the threat of the Assyrian Empire led the Syrians and the Israelite kingdom to threaten the kingdom of Judah. And God sends Isaiah to speak to King Ahab in chapter 7, but King Ahab had his own particular ideas. And if we move on to the context of Isaiah's life, in chapter 7 to 12 of Isaiah, we have his ministry in the days of King Ahab, when Jerusalem was under pressure from the nations that were surrounding Judah. So Isaiah ministers to the nation of Judah in very difficult times, chapter 7 to 12. And then chapter 13 to 23, we have his ministry to the nations, prophecies to the nations. And that leads into chapters 24 and 25 of Isaiah, is what is known as the little apocalypse, where in advance, God speaks of the end times and the way he's going to judge the whole world as things come to the end of the ages. And in chapter 25, right towards the end, if you look at your Bibles, in chapters 25 of Isaiah, we find God's judgment on the city of Moab, Moab representing God's enemies right at the end of time. So in Isaiah 25, verse 10, we read the following words. The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, on Jerusalem, but Moab, representing all the enemies of God, will be trampled under him, as straw is trampled down in the manure. They will spread out their hands in it, as a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. God will bring down their pride, despite the cleverness of their hands. Now notice this. He will bring down your high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. So chapter 25 of Isaiah ends with God's judgment on the nations and bringing down this vast city that represents Man City, that is in rebellion against God. And then as we move into chapter 26, we have Jerusalem presented as a fortified city. We read verse 1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its wall and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter in. The nation that keeps faith. So what we have in chapter 26 of Isaiah, you will notice, first of all, it's a song. I know it's a word of prophecy, but it's a word of prophecy that comes in the form of a song that is being taught by Isaiah for the people to sing in the end times. Now, what is the theme of this song? In verse 1, we have an affirmation. And the affirmation is, we have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. In a sense, if we can move on to the book of Revelation, what we have here in Isaiah is what we have in Revelation chapter 21. In chapter 17 and 18 of Isaiah, we have the great city of Babylon that collapses under God's judgment. And then God's city, the New Jerusalem, comes down from heaven as the abode of God's people. Now we have that anticipated here in Isaiah chapter 26. This great affirmation as God's people. We have a strong city and God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. And then we have an order. In verse 2, we have an order in this song. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. And then that leads us into the verses I want to share with you this evening. Verse 3, we have a promise. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. And then we have an exhortation, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is a rock eternal. I'm reading from the New International Version, just in case you're concerned about that. Let's think together this evening for a few minutes about what you might call the people's confidence. In this song that is being sung, in the light of the end times, what is the confidence of God's people? And first of all, we have a promise here. What is the promise it is made? Verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. So the thing that has been promised to us here is what the NIV calls perfect peace. Now, when you go into the original language in Hebrew, it's very interesting because here what we have is the word peace repeated. So literally it is, you will keep in peace. The word peace is repeated. And it could have the sense, you will be kept with peace upon peace, or peace and more peace, or peace and then more. All kinds of peace. First of all, political peace in the light of the political uprisings. And secondly, in spiritual peace as well. Now, why is this emphasis brought out here of peace? The context is from chapter 25, God's judgments on the nations. And the truth of the matter is that when God begins to exercise his power and begins to judge the nations, then there is a very real sense of fear. Remember the flood of Noah. Remember what the people began to feel when it began to rain, and it rained and rained and rained and rained. The hearts of men were filled with tremendous fear. In the ark, there was also maybe a sense of fear. What was going to happen now? But God's word to Noah would have been this very word, peace, peace in the ark. Or we can think of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God's judgment fell upon those wicked cities, and when fire and brimstone began to fall upon Sodom, obviously it was a tremendous sense of fear. And yet God was taking Lot and his daughters out of the city. And the word of God to that man was peace, peace in the midst of judgment. Or think of the nation of Israel when they were in Egypt and the plagues began to fall on the nation of Egypt. God had an amazing ability to protect his people in the midst of the plagues that were falling on Egypt. And so in times of judgment, God's message to his people is peace, peace. Now in the 21st century, in the year 2021, there is a tremendous sense of fear about the world. This tiny virus appeared in a market in China, it seems, invisible, and yet began to work itself out in this coronavirus. And it spread from China to the Middle East, and then to Europe, and then to the rest of the world. And we're living unprecedented times. I know in the past, there have been all kinds of plagues. But in the past, the world has not been interconnected. There's not been an awareness instantly of how thousands of people are dying in Russia and America and South America, maybe later on in Africa as well. And so the nations have a tremendous sense of fear. Now we don't know, is this a sign of the end times coming upon us? Does the world have a long way to go yet? We don't know. But this surely is God's word to us this evening. In the midst of this pandemic, God wants us to have perfect peace. They're unusual days. And I imagine you in Britain have had your own shares of worries and concerns. And maybe still now, some people have got used to lockdown. Other people are fearful. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the economy? Are the jobs going to be lost? Are more people going to die now? My friends, can I encourage you to take this word of promise to your heart? When God's judgments are in the land, he speaks peace to his people. So there we have this tremendous confidence, the promise. But then notice in verse 3 as well, to whom is the promise made? What does the Bible say about who are the people that are able to enjoy this perfect peace? Verse 3 we read, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So here we have the kind of condition if we want to enjoy perfect peace. We have to have a mind that is steadfast as we trust in the Lord. Now, the word here for mind is not the word for a brain. He is not saying you have to have your brain engaged in a particular way. The word in Hebrew here means for the effect of the brain. In other words, it's speaking about our thought processes, our thoughts, our ideas, our conceptions. And what the word of God is saying to us is that in times of judgment and when the nations are full of fear, our thoughts, our ideas have to be steadfast. If I can take with you to the book of James towards the end of the New Testament, you remember how the writer James in chapter 1 and verse 6 speaks to people going through very difficult times. And they wanted to understand what was God doing in those difficult times. We read the need to ask God for wisdom. And then we have this image of James, verse 6. But when he asks for wisdom, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now, a wave that is blown and tossed by the wind is totally the opposite of what we have here in Isaiah 26 verse 3. Because what we have to do is to have our thoughts, our ideas fixed firmly, not moved about, that we might be able to have peace in our hearts. Do you remember the moment when the apostle Peter was in the boat and the Lord Jesus came walking on the waves, and Peter decided he wanted to walk on the waves as well. And he asked permission from the Lord, and the Lord granted Peter permission. So he got out of the boat and he began to walk on the waves, an amazing experience. And as long as Peter's thoughts were fixed on the Lord, he was able to walk on the waves. But then suddenly his thoughts were distracted by the waves and the wind, and his thoughts were not steadfast, and he began to sink in the waves. And that's exactly what we have to avoid doing in these days. We need to ask the Lord to give us thoughts and to have our minds so steeped in God's word that we might understand God is in control. And because we know God is in control, our thoughts are fixed on that fundamental truth of God's sovereignty, we will be kept in perfect peace. So this evening, can I ask you, how are your thoughts going these days? Are your ideas fixed on God's word? Or do we find that when we listen to the news, or when we hear a particular report, we begin to get very worried and we lose sight of God's sovereignty, God's control? And that takes away from us that sense of peace. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to experience tremendous peace, but we have to have our thoughts steadfast, firm on the truths of God's word as we trust in the Lord. So there we have, first of all, the people's confidence. And then secondly, as a light of that, we have the people's duty. What is our duty in the days in which we are living? Well, read again with me verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Obviously, if we are to trust in the Lord, and if we are to be firm in our trust in the Lord, then we need to know whom we are trusting. So the question is, on whom are we to trust? And the answer in God's word is very clear. We have to trust in the Lord. Now, in the NIV, this is what it says in verse 4. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is a rock eternal. Now, it's very interesting. Isaiah has repeated the word peace, and now he repeats the word Lord. That's interesting. Now, in the Bible, usually, they're not coincidences. There's a truth in parallel that is being taught here. Now, in the Hebrew, the first word, Lord, is the abbreviated form. I don't know how you pronounce it in English now. How do you pronounce Hebrew words in English? I know how we pronounce them in Spanish, but Jah, from Jehovah, the abbreviated form, Jah. And then it repeats the Lord, the full word, Jehovah. So when Isaiah says, trust in Jah, Jehovah, he's not repeating this for poetic effect. It's to draw out the emphasis. We are to really, really trust in the Lord. And then notice he goes on to describe who is the Lord. Who is the one in whom we have to trust? Isaiah says, or the song rather says, in the rock eternal. Can you notice again the parallel between verse 3 and verse 4? We have to have our minds steadfast. They have to be firm, anchored on something. And it has to be anchored on the rock. The rock of God's word and the rock of the Lord our Savior. As I was studying and meditating on this passage in Isaiah, my mind suddenly went to Revelation and chapter 4. Do you remember that moment when the apostle John was taken up into heaven and he had this amazing vision of God sitting on the throne? A wonderful picture of God's sovereignty, the control God exercises over the whole of history. And do you remember what there is surrounding the throne, round about the throne? A sea. And how is a sea described? It's a sea of glass. What does that mean? A sea of glass means a sea so peaceful, so tranquil, not even a wave, not even a ripple. And it's speaking of the absolute peace that surrounds the throne of God. Now here in this world, it's very easy for us as we look out from our homes and we see the turmoil and the pandemic and reports of people dying all around us. And we may have heard of neighbors having this virus. Maybe neighbors, family, friends, being very ill, maybe even dying. And our concern, will it come to us? Will I have this contagion of the virus? Very easy for us to lose sight of the fact, my friends, this pandemic, it's God's work. It's God's doing. Now, maybe for us, it's hard to understand all that God is wanting to do through this pandemic. But in my mind, there is no doubt whatsoever. From start to finish, this pandemic is exactly what God planned for this world at this time. And God is surely working out amazing things through this pandemic. I know in our church here in Trujillo, many members of the church are saying to us things like, Pastor, my family never wanted to go to church. I invited them time and time again to go to church. They never wanted to go to church. And now every Sunday morning, when I put on the computer and we listen to the service, all my family are now listening to God's word. This was happening. At least here in Peru, a tremendous opening to the gospel. People that never went to the church, now that the church is in their living room, people are now listening to God's word as they've never listened to before. Only eternity will bring to light all that God is doing through this pandemic. So my friends, can I encourage you? Whenever you have a sense of fear, go to Revelation chapter 4. Look at God again upon his throne. Think of that sea of glass. And then fill your mind with this thought. God is in perfect control of absolutely everything that is happening. That's our responsibility. We have to trust in the Lord. Now, finally, to finish this evening, how are we to trust? What does this song tell us at the end of verse 4 about how we are to trust. Well, it says to us, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is a rock eternal. It's at the beginning, isn't it, of verse 4. We are to trust in the Lord forever. It doesn't say from time to time. It doesn't say in difficulties or in good times. We are to trust the Lord forever. Can I go with you to the book of Psalms for a moment as we draw to a close this evening? Let's go to read a few verses in Psalm 62 and verses 5 to 8. Just to draw to a close the sense of trusting in the Lord forever. As we find it in the book of Psalms 62 and verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. My friends, maybe many years ago, we trusted in God for our salvation. And over the years, we have trusted in God for our keeping. And we have to go on trusting in God for our well-being in the midst of the pandemic. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we can learn to trust in the Lord forever. So my friends, this evening is a time to reflect, isn't it? A time to ask ourselves, how is our faith shaping up in these days? Are we trusting in the Lord? Are we going on trusting? Are we experiencing peace upon peace as our minds are fixed on the Lord? Can I just finish with this thought? One commentator noticed that when verse 4 was translated into the Aramaic language in the Targum, when it's repeated, the Lord, apparently the Targum reads as follows. For the Lord, the word of the Lord, is the rock eternal. There's a Messiah. There's our Christ. There's the Logos of John chapter 1, the Word of God. And my friends, what a tremendous privilege we have. Not only to have God as our Father, we have God the Son as our Savior. We can trust in the Lord. We can trust in the Word of the Lord, because He is our rock. And He will keep us safe, even beyond death and into eternity. So may the Lord speak peace to our hearts this evening, as we have our minds steadfast, because we are trusting in our Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful passage in Your Word that comes to us this evening in the midst of this pandemic. Maybe, Father, we've already heard similar words to these. And yet it's always good to be reminded that we are to have our minds steadfast, fixed upon the everlasting rock and the everlasting word of our God. Father, we thank You, we praise You, that You are the one that rules and reigns on high. Nothing happens in this world without Your authority. Not even a bird falls to its death without our Father being in control of that. How much least of all, this tremendous pandemic. So Father, help us to understand your sovereignty, your providence, and help us to trust in your unfailing grace and your power in favor of keeping your people. Father, help us to fix our faith upon you in these days. Father, we bless you that we're able to trust in you. And we pray that your grace might keep us in these days. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.